Accessing library computer data.
And to make sure history never forgets the name Enterprise.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Penske Podcast. If you haven't tuned in before, this is a podcast where we are running through all 178 episodes of Star Trek The Next Generation, giving our thoughts and feelings about each and every one. Right now we're up to episode 2 of season 6. This one is called Realm of Fear. It was directed by Cliff Bohl, written by Brandon Braga, and it aired back on October 11th, 1992. In this episode, we focus on Reginald Barclay's paralyzing fear of the transporter and tiny little microbes that might live inside it. Clay is here to talk about this one, so right after this, me and Clay are going to go deep on Reginald Barclay, the transporter, and tiny little microbes.
I know how you feel about this, sir.
You're afraid of transporting, too?
No. Arachnids. Sickening, crawly little things, don't you think? All those legs.
Spiders. They never bothered me.
A few years back, I was called in to reroute an emitter array at a starbase at Zara 4. Turns out the entire system was infested with Tellurian hook spiders. You ever seen a Tellurian hook spider? Their legs are half a meter long. Well, I had a choice. Do I walk away and let the emitter blow itself to hell? Or do I crawl in the Jeffries tube with 20 hook spiders?
What happened?
It was the hardest thing I ever did. But I got through it.
So, Clay.
Mm-hmm.
A question right off the top of my head. What's your general thoughts on Barclay?
I don't understand how Barclay ever made it through Starfleet.
He's a bit of an enigma.
Yeah, he's kind of a pervert. We Check. Learned from that holodeck episode.
Yep.
He's very nervous. And he has a multitude of anxiety disorders where everybody else on the ship seems to be fairly calm and collected. He is a gigantic outlier. I guess he knows stuff about the transporter, but he's not like one of those characters who's, this guy's weird, but he's the only guy who knows how to do blank, so we have to have him on the, he's not one of those characters. He's just a guy, which is fine. You know, I don't mind that. It's just a really interesting departure from literally everybody else on the ship.
Yeah, he seems to be talented but not gifted, which is kind of odd for him.
Yeah.
I feel like he fits just into the mold of he's too damn valuable to get rid of. Like, we'll put up with his quirks just because he's this good. I think that the Barclay character is kind of problematic in this universe, even though I really like him. I think Schultz's performance as him is like perfect almost, because he's a character I could easily get annoyed by, and he never really annoys me in the performance, which is something that I appreciate. What the problem is, his oddness from the rest of the crew and the universe of Star Trek The Next Generation in general seems weird to me that no one reacts to him in a more dramatic fashion. You know what I mean? Like, he's clearly the way O'Brien just patiently puts up with him instead of being like, "Will you shut the fuck up and get in the transporter," is nothing short of a miracle to me. You know, like the way that everyone else is just so calm. Everyone accomplishes everything fine. And this guy is like, he's got his head leaning against the wall. He's sweating profusely as people are beaming off the ship.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's just I didn't notice this problem as much when we watched his first episode, which was the holodeck one. I forget what that one was called, but it's in season 3, I think.
Right.
This one, I noticed his characterization is almost distracting from the rest of the crew.
Yeah, it's strange because I don't know if I'd necessarily call him problematic, because I am glad there is a character like him on the ship.
Yep.
Maybe I think. I don't know if he should not be an officer or something, or not be a crew member.
Yeah, right. Yeah,
but like, you know, when we did our prisoner podcast, one of the things that I said I loved about that show was how your setting of this kind of amorphous village allows you to tackle pretty tackle a variety of things that apply to everybody. And I think the Enterprise gives you that opportunity to an extent, and I they don't do it as much as they could, but in this case, I think it's a good example of it. Like, just to kind of get into it, this episode, I wasn't sure I was going to like it, but once things got going and they kind of threw the hook at you, I was really interested in it. I don't know if it really plays out the way I hoped it would, but I think the concept that they're playing with it was an interesting concept and one that they hadn't done before, surprisingly enough.
Right. I agree with that. I think the concept of this episode is really kind of cool. I like how they just dovetail it. It's basically being scared of flying, like, is how they how they're selling it. I think that the problem is for me here is that I don't think this is a terrible episode, but I think that the problem is that because we're telling this story through Barclay's eyes, the fact that he doesn't tell anyone about what he's seen for a very long time of the episode gets very frustrating to the point where the plot kind of loses itself because we know he's not crazy, right? Because this is right. Star Trek. He's actually seen something in the transporter. We've seen something in the transporter.
Right.
So the fact that we have to spend about 20 minutes of the episode where he is not sure if he's seeing something is kind of annoying, and it kind of distracts from the plot.
Well, I didn't really necessarily read it that way. I never thought it was in dispute whether or not he had seen something. I thought it was more of like that he clearly had seen something, but nobody believed that he had seen anything. Because he kind of dips his toe into it a little bit where he's like, did you ever kind of, you know, see anything weird?
Right.
And they're like, no, definitely not. And he's like, oh, okay. So I never, like, that plus the thing with his arm, like, I never got the impression that he was in disbelief of what happened.
I see. I think that he genuinely starts to think that he has transporter psychosis.
Okay. Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, no, I agree with that. Yeah, once he goes to WebMD and looks up
the symptoms of transporter
psychosis, then yes, he starts to go a little crazy.
And then I think he takes about 10 or 15 minutes, and then he eventually goes through the transporter, and that reaffirms that he's not crazy. He calls the staff meeting, and everyone kind of believes him. You know what I mean? Like, right. no one's ever like, oh, you're fucking crazy. Picard has them, you know, tear apart the transporter. He has them run all the diagnostics and everything. They don't find anything, unfortunately for him. But I don't mind this episode. I think it's just, it starts off with a really cool idea. It kind of meanders in the middle, and then I have no fucking idea what happens at the end. Let's talk about the fact that it's really an original idea, although they've done transporter accidents before. This is the first episode of Next Gen that's actually breaking down the fact that the transporter is kind of a ridiculous technology.
Yeah, they give you a nice shot inside the transportation beam, which I thought was cool, which I'm surprised they had never done before.
Not sure it makes sense, but
not really.
Yeah.
You know,
why would you be conscious inside the transporter beam?
Who knows? It happens so fast that is there really any room to not be conscious?
Yeah, you know? maybe it's just, or you move as a data, you keep consciousness as the data moves across the sub. There's a lot of techno babble in this episode.
Yeah, it did make me think about things though. Like, is it, you know, it made me think about the possibilities of using the transporter in a way that they haven't yet, and I kind of wish that they kind of exploited them at some point. Like, I started thinking, like, oh, well, they never did something like on the fly. Like, what happens if they don't transport all of the data back
right.
or something? You know, if it breaks halfway through.
Well, he claims that one atom and you're gone. Like, that's what Barclay – I don't know if that's true or if he's exaggerated, but he claims if one atom is out of place, and then O'Brien's like, well, we have subsystems to take care of that. But it's like, that's a crazy proposition, what you're saying there, I think.
Right, right. Like, what if they did an episode where somebody goes through the transporter and – actually, I read the description of this one, and I don't know if I read it quickly and didn't really take in what it was telling me, but I thought this was going to have a lot more to do with Troy, because I thought it said something about Troy going through and coming back changed or something. I don't know.
Is that the next episode?
Okay. Yeah. I must have just jumped over just to see what the breakdown was, but that was fresh in my mind, so I was waiting for something like that. But yep. I started thinking about, well, what if they sent someone through, and you know, the thing breaks down halfway through, so they lose some of the data of their transportation.
Yep.
But it gets meshed with the data of another person's transportation.
Yep.
So, like, that had been lost previously, so you've got, like, this new creation made from two
separate
people. Loft.
Yep.
Yeah. I thought that would, you know, but anyway, that's just where my mind started to go. But
I would have been interested in a actual transporter psychosis episode.
Yeah, that would be cool, too.
Where someone actually legitimately goes crazy from the transporter. Not to spoil anything, there is an episode that sort of does what you were talking about with the Second Chances episode, where a malfunctioning transporter creates a clone of Riker.
Really?
Yeah.
That's interesting.
So there's that episode.
So that's cool. I mean, I'm surprised it's taken them so long to get into that stuff, because it's fairly interesting. It has a lot of possibilities of weird things you could do.
No, there's like a whole there's the technology aspect, which is fascinating. Like, I sit here and I'm like, what kind of, like, the computing power of this thing, you know, like, yeah. to break down a person and remember every single thing in 2 seconds, like O'Brien says. And also the there's like a metaphysical aspect to it. I think we've talked about, like, if you get broken down into molecules and then reassembled, are you really the same person when you come back? Or are you just a copy of yourself? You know, it's kind of a neat thing. And I appreciate the fact that the Barclay reaction kind of makes sense to me, because I don't like flying. I don't know if you like flying or anything, but I don't break down in his reaction. But I certainly, the entire time I'm in an airplane, except for when we're getting off the tarmac, is like I'm like gripping the seat, you know, and just sort of like, this is not fun.
Yeah, I if I haven't flown in a long time, then the first flight I'll be a little bit hesitant, but generally I don't really have a problem with it.
Okay.
But yeah, it's, you know, I think you get they opened up an idea that I wish, you know, it didn't end up really being this, but I wish they had played with this idea of there being some sort of thing inside whatever the pocket of the universe that allows this transportation technology to work. Like, there's something in there. Like, I found that really creepy and really fascinating.
Yes, I agree.
And, you know, kind of like, you know, I don't know if I would go so far as to say like Lovecraftian, but there's something really interesting about that sort of, like, you're, in order for this technology to work, you're passing through a different facet of the universe that's even less explored than the one they're currently exploring.
Right. And there's worms in it or something. I mean,
really, really bad looking worms.
Yeah. I was reading feedback about this one, and Brandon Braga wrote, this is a very Brandon Braga script. Just for everyone out there listening, like, you can immediately tell this is a Braga episode, but the episode wasn't terrifically well received. He thought that a large part of that was due to the fact that the aliens weren't scary enough. And I can meet him halfway on that. I can't go all the way.
Yeah.
They could be better. I think they're creepy enough for the purposes of what they are. You also don't spend a lot of time with them, so it's not like that's a huge flaw in the episode. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, like, they're so bad looking. My girlfriend came in and watched like the last 15 minutes of it or so, and when those things showed up, like the multiple, when the three or four of them showed up,
yep,
she said, wow, that's, even for this show, those are pretty bad looking aliens. And it's kind of I don't know if they just didn't have the alien budget to start the season, because the last episode had those weird papier-mâché forehead face hole aliens that didn't look like there was a lot of money put into them, and in this episode they were clearly just hand puppets.
It's I don't know what the script description of them would have been, you know, because I'm sure it's just the artists get these description of, like, there's a a microbe in the transporter. You're like, okay, I don't know where to go with that. We'll go with like a slightly Langolier-y kind of thing.
Yes, yeah.
Or tremors mixed with Langoliers, I guess, because they're much bigger than you think.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's. I really enjoyed the transporter aspect. I would have had more to do with the transport or something. Like I would have had them had to more frequently use the transporter in this episode for whatever reason, and had maybe multiple people. Although that falls apart with the thing about Barclay. Like, I guess it just depends on how you want to tell the story. I would have not made it Barclay-centric, I think, and it might have been a little bit better.
Yeah, I think. You know, I think this episode does a pretty good job of tying together the A plot and the B plot.
Yes. Yep.
Because they're both more or less about the same thing. But there's not really any. Again, this is something that they've kind of had a problem with a lot through the run of the show. Is there's not really a central issue or that is super compelling.
Yes. Yeah.
Like, I mean, I know that Barclay, if he doesn't figure out what's wrong with him, is going to turn into a slug or something.
Yes.
Somehow. Well, I don't know.
I don't even know if that would happen. I don't know what would happen.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what the mechanics there are. But, like, there's clearly. I mean, it's about him getting over his fear of the transporter.
Yep.
But they don't really. Well, I guess they kind of do. I was going to say they don't have that moment that O'Brien talks about, where he has to go into, which honestly, that story O'Brien tells is fucking terrifying. as someone who is not a fan of spiders, that story is terrifying. But
I wish we'd see. Yeah, we should have had a flashback to actually see that. Although we'd probably have.
I don't even want to see it. I think the way he told it was good enough. It was like, it was creepy as shit.
I thought we could have had a O'Brien and Barclay spinoff. I think they're a decent enough pairing. And this is getting close to O'Brien's final appearance. So I think that was interesting. I know he's very good in this. He's such a he's so even keeled, but he's very. You can tell his. His personality comes through in how he plays O'Brien.
Right.
Yeah, I would have. Like, ostensibly, this is about Barclay getting over his fear of transport, which is okay. Mm-hmm. They tack on a reason why he should be scared into it, because only he sees these microbes for some reason. Right. And then it just kind of. He kind of overcomes it by solving the problem in the end, but I don't know if he's not scared of transporters anymore. That hasn't really changed anything.
Right.
It's just, I sort of agree with you. I don't feel that the through line of what this story is trying to be about is there. Either go hard sci-fi and be about the transporter, or be about Barclay's character of being a nervous Nelly kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I would agree
with that. And they kind of split the difference. So, can you explain to me what happens at the end of this episode? Why?
Nope.
Why does grabbing... Are the microbes the people?
Yes?
Why? Yeah, are there microbes in the... everyone's telling me there's microbes in the thing. But when Barclay grabs one, he pulls out a person.
Yeah, I have no idea. Not a single clue.
Yeah, it's very... It's typical Braga. It's like this concept that doesn't really pull together in the end. I don't understand why they didn't do the Arrested Development thing and leave a note on their ship about what they were doing. Because the Enterprise gets there and they're like, what happened to everybody? Where is everybody? They could have just said that they were in the transporter beam.
Yeah, yeah. I have no idea.
Why did they beam all that shit on the board in the first place? Have it explode. That was another, like, why were they just beaming stuff into an open area where everyone was apparently standing and they all got horribly infected by these microbes?
Well, what I liked about that was when they recreated that experiment in the engineering room.
Yep.
And the thing explodes, you know, it's in a force field or whatever, and the thing explodes. My first thought was, okay, how do you clean that up now?
Yeah, I think they have to beam the gas out or something. You just have to do a purge of what's going on in there.
Also, I know this is, you know, this is a bit of a tangent, and maybe we've covered this before, but why do they even need transporter rooms? Shouldn't you be able to be, like, in the bridge and be, like, three to beam down, and they just beam you down from the bridge?
They do that. I think there's an implication that doing it transporter to transporter is safer.
Yeah, that makes sense.
because they've had, we know that transport during warp is possible, but it's very dangerous. Mm-hmm. I assume that the transporters are just two sort of landing pads that you can safely get to.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Because, yeah, when they beam onto whatever that ship was, which was also a reuse of the planets, I think, from the third season opener, the egg episode. I forget what that one was. Evolution, that one was called. I assume they just beam over there like that. One scene I did like was the dead guy coming back to life.
Yeah, that was pretty weird.
They didn't really do anything with it, but it was a neat concept.
I don't even remember. Did that... That didn't really play out into any. Did that help them solve the problem? I don't even remember.
He was doing it because he was, like, charged with ions or something.
Right.
And so they proved that Barkley had those same ions, so therefore he got bit by whatever this guy had been hit by.
Sure.
It worked out like that. Poor Barkley. I don't know. I really like the... I remember this one more than I think it's good for whatever reason.
Mm-hmm,
Is there anything that you'd like... Which way would you have been more interested in going? If you had to go the hard sci-fi, or were you more interested in, like, Barkley's personal journey of redemption? Could you meld the two in some way? Or what do you think is the biggest holdback, I suppose, of this plot?
I think that isolating Barkley could have driven up the stakes a little bit, because the funny thing about it is, as freaked out and as weird as he is, as soon as he tells people about it, they are the most supportive people you will ever meet in your life. Even the Captain Picard is like, "Are you okay?"
He wakes them up at like 3 in the morning or something. Everyone comes in very groggy, and he's ready to go.
Yeah, I would have maybe. I think I probably. I don't know. I think you could blend the two. I love the idea of there being something in the transporter.
Yep.
That is inexplicable.
Well, I mean, why can't the thing biting him in the transporter actually cause psychosis?
Yeah, you know, that's fine.
So that you could have the best of, you could do both angles there, and it would come down to the Star Trek thing of, oh, there's actually an explanation for this. You're not actually going crazy. You're just infected. But they don't do that. They just kind of meander with. We watch him doing some yoga or something. He's not doing yoga. He's like meditating with the candles.
Once again, Troy shows that she's not a great psychiatrist.
No.
Because he's, he says basically, what does he say? He says like, I'm afraid of transporting. She's like, well, you should be.
It's fucking terrifying. Yeah. You are literally.
And he's like, you're literally being broken down into atoms. And she's like, yeah, no, that's exactly what's happening. It's terrifying. But I think actually that would be the way that I would go. I don't know if I would go that he's getting transporter, like him being bitten has given him transporter psychosis.
Okay.
I think I'd lean into the idea that maybe he is just being anxious and web MDing himself feeling bad, and then double down with, no, you're right to be afraid. You did see something in there.
Right.
You know, really getting, which is kind of what they do, but I think they could lean into it a little bit more.
Should we have seen the aliens then, and the microbes in the first transporter beam? First time he claims to get bitten?
I'm going to say yeah. Like, I don't know about the bite part, but I found that considerably creepy.
Yep.
Until it kind of, you know, floats at him and kind of nibbles his arm.
Yeah, like opens its mouth and looks at him, yeah.
Yeah, but like the idea, it's kind of like, it's not entirely dissimilar to that famous William Shatner.
On the plane, yeah.
Yeah, so. Where it's like, you know, you're seeing the gremlin in the machine, you know?
Right. I'm actually thinking now, I actually just gave myself goosebumps because I'm that damn good. But I was thinking about like a longer sequence where he sees the thing in the distance getting closer very slowly.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, I think that would have worked. You know, if they had to hold him in there for longer than the 5 seconds because O'Brien says, oh, it's going to take another, you know, 10 seconds or whatever, something creepy where it's coming at him and it just, he gets out just in time before it gets to him or something.
Right. Also, I can't really explain how Barclay's the only person to see those things until the plot requires other people to see them.
Yes. And to have no problem with the mission that Barclay claims to tell. He says to go in there and grab those things and pull them out. And Worf goes in, no questions asked.
No problem.
Yeah, I really don't understand the end. I don't understand why how that all ties together. It's just, it's very bizarre to me. It's a...
Like, honestly, the ending would have been way cooler if he had grabbed onto that thing, brought it back, and it was still this gigantic, weird slug monster.
Yep.
And they did some sort of, you know, I don't know, biopsy or autopsy on it or something. And they were like, this is a human being.
Yep. Oh, and right, yeah.
Like, it's like they've been in there so long, they've been, you know, their signal has been so fucked up.
Yep.
That they've been malformed into this weird space slug.
We better send them back, put them back on the transporter. Yeah, That was a little bit disappointing, but I think there's potential in this episode is the most frustrating aspect of
it
to me.
Yeah, definitely.
And they will continue with the transporter thing. That's not going to be dropped, but yeah. Well, I think we're pretty much done with this one. Let's give final thoughts. We're going to take a break, play an audio clip, and me and Clay will be back with our final thoughts and ratings for Realm of Fear.
Reg, what happened?
Well, when I saw that there was more than one of them, I thought maybe the other crew were trying to do the same thing that we were.
We're infected with something. Lieutenant Kelly tried to reprogram the biofilter.
It looks like he pushed molecular dispersion past the integrity point. Your patterns got caught in the beam.
The residual energy from the plasma streamer, it must have amplified the charge in the buffer enough to keep your patterns from degrading.
All right, guys, so welcome back, and we're going to do our final thoughts and ratings. If you're on YouTube, you can click in the upper right-hand corner of the video, and you can click that little gray circle. It'll open up a poll where you can vote on what you think on our scale of 1 to 5 this episode deserves. So you did the last one, Clay, so I'll start with this one. I'm going to give this one a strong 2. I don't know if that seems harsh, but I think it fits into my description of it's a pretty solid episode that has a couple problems, and the main problem here is I don't know which way they want the story to go. I feel like it's two stories competing for my attention, and it doesn't really land either of them. But yeah, other than that, I really love the concept. It's a strong, you might rate it higher because I think you might enjoy the concept to be strong enough to rate it higher. But what do you think?
Yeah, I think you're right in that I'm going to rate it a little bit higher. I think I'm going to go a low 3 because it's fine.
I don't
particularly like, there's nothing bad about it really.
Right.
They kind of, you know, the ending is a little bit conveniently, you know, it's like we need an ending. That kind of
yeah,
thing.
But yeah.
They don't really sufficiently answer any questions.
Not necessary.
Yeah, and like, you know, I think it could have been stronger if him getting over his fear of transporting could have directly tied into the fixing of the problem instead of in a way that felt right.
Right. Yeah.
As opposed to it just being, oh, him getting over his fear of the problem, his fear of transporting is the answer to the problem.
Right. Like,
you know, like
what was O'Brien's reason for going into the spider pit? He says it, right?
There was something like overheating in the Jeffries tube or something. Like something was going
to
blow up.
But the problem is Barclay doesn't really have a drive to go back into it. Outside of fixing his own, getting a peace of mind, I guess.
Well, what is he not in danger? Like, now that I'm thinking about it, what the hell is the point of him glowing? Like the trans? Like, is he gonna eventually turn into one of those things? Or I don't even remember what the
It starts to spread. He passes out and it starts to spread. I guess it's just to give him some sort of danger that proves he's been in there. You know what I mean?
Right, but is there like, I don't, Jesus, I just watched this episode like an hour ago. I can't even tell you what the hell happened. I don't know how you do this because they're not sticking as well as they used to.
What'd you think about when Kirk died in this episode? That was crazy.
No, it's Anthony Kirk?
It's
like, I don't remember what the point of him glowing was, if there was a direct threat to his own being.
No,
and if there was, I don't know how the ending of this story fixes that problem.
Right. Yes. I'd agree that I don't know how that all gets fixed at the end. I assume Dr. Crusher works on magic. It's really, I don't think there is a reason why he needs to glow when he gets bit, outside of just to prove that, you know, because it's not even like his life is in danger or anything. Like,
that's what I'm talking about. Like, he doesn't have any, unless for anybody listening who is just screaming at us right now because we're missing a huge plot point, please let us know. But he has no real direct threat to his own being, and even the thing that they're dealing with is not real. It's not really a threat to the ship. It's just like kind of like, oh, that's what it was.
Right. Yeah.
You know. And I guess they save the crew, but there's nothing. Him grabbing the slug, it's not like he knew that was a crew member.
Right, exactly. Yeah, that's
it. He was just grabbing Freddy Krueger to bring it into the world of the awake people.
Yeah, very similar to that. I'd agree. I think what you just said is basically why this is a two to me. It's like the concept is strong. It's just not being held together well enough at this point, especially if you have an idea that's interesting like this and you're in the sixth season. I feel like it should hold together better than it does right here.
Have you already covered the Scotty episode?
That is coming up, and it's remarkable that that is like two episodes from now, because it's a very similar kind of idea.
Okay. I don't know if I feel like I want to call that one or not, but well, whatever. If your schedule works out,
sure. If you that episode is an excellent use of this idea, in my opinion.
Okay. In that case, I would like to do that episode if possible.
Sure. So Clay will be back for Relics. Yeah, but that is coming up very soon, and that'll actually be good because you'll have this one and Unification to play off of in Relics, because Relics is probably the best case bringing back a TOS character the show ever did. Mm.
You know, not to jump to that episode, but it's on my mind. It's funny that Scotty was in an episode of TNG. I was watching something. I think it was another one of those question and answer things. This one was with all the captains.
Yep.
And they asked one of them Shatner how he felt about them doing the Next Generation, and the answer was that he was fine with it. Most people were fine with it, but James Doohan apparently was not okay with it. And I can't remember the exact quote, but it was something like James Doohan was definitely, he was like, no, there's one Enterprise and there's one crew and it's not these guys.
Wow. Strong words from Montgomery Scott. Obviously, we haven't done the TOS, but it's a lot of strong feelings for a show that did three seasons. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's really interesting. It's really interesting.
And I sort of admire the fact that TNG was so strongly against not bringing back TOS characters. Like, that's a very strong line to hold when you're being based off of something that has so much cachet with, like, public opinion, basically.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. I applaud them. I think they definitely didn't overdo it. I don't need Admiral Kirk coming back every like second episode. You know what I mean?
Right, right.
It's just fascinating.
Yeah, I think they handle that stuff pretty well because they do it enough that you are you enjoy it when it happens.
Yep.
But it's not. They definitely don't overdo it. Even with other characters like, or even concepts like they're in their first. Like two or three episodes, they do a riff on the Naked Time or
whatever.
Naked Now. I can't remember which one's which, but yeah, I feel like there definitely was the opportunity to be like, hey, let's just bring back Sulu once a season,
right? Yeah, or just you're talking to Admiral Sulu, you know, on a view screen for five seconds at the start, and it's like, all right, that was cute, and we'll get over that.
Yeah, but they do a good job of. Making sure things are connected, but also, you know, doing their own thing, which is nice.
Yeah, I think it's just enough to establish that this is the same universe, kind of. They make enough callbacks that we're all in the same place, but we don't need these people at this point.
Right.
Interesting. Cool. Well, guys, if you enjoyed the content today, you're on YouTube, like and comments, appreciate it. If you're on iTunes, a rating and review helps get the show out there. The wrap-up for Season 5, that video, or the MP3 download, There's a giveaway. We're still doing that. So that's going to be announced on the Relics episode on June 5th. So, yeah, if you haven't entered that, do that. You win a Darmok and Jalad t-shirt. You can go to the Season 5 wrap-up video on YouTube or the MP3 download and get instructions for how to enter there. Clay, thanks for coming on.
Oh, anytime.
And you will be back with Relics in a few days. And then in the meantime, we'll have, I think, Man of the People is next, which is the Troy episode that you were talking about before.
I might have to watch that one just to watch it because the breakdown seemed kind of interesting, and I'm dying for a good Troy episode.
Okay, well, I can meet you halfway there. If you want to watch it, it makes sense for Relics. If you want to watch it because you want to see a horrific episode, you can watch it.
Oh, okay, never mind.
It is not a good Troy episode, but it is interesting. If that's
it sounded like an interesting breakdown, but I'll take your word for it that it's not very good.
if anyone can explain leading up to that why that episode is called Man of the People, I'm going to give you like 2 weeks to think about this. Explain to me why it's called Man of the People, and we'll get back. All right, Clay, I will. I'll see you in a couple days though.
Sounds good. I'll be locked in the transporter.
All right, I'm going to run the buffer and throw the tarantula into the thing. I can see Clay in the distance coming towards me.